Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 28th of December, Anno Domini 2013. And you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. I apologize for starting the... I should actually wait until it starts to say that. For God's sake. This amazes me. Just skip that. I already invited people. There we go. Now I think we're about to be on the air with that. Well, let's start with the news. It took me... okay. Target. Yeah, Target. In light of the recent massive breach...
Their name properly?
Yeah, exactly. In light of the recent massive breach that saw the store lose data for 40 million customer credit cards, Target CEO Greg Steinhoffel took to the web to offer updates, apologies, and special discounts. Steinhoffel said the issue has been identified and eliminated. The shoppers' PINs, birth dates, and social security numbers were not stolen. Still, he emphasized with customers for the stress and confusion. He empathized with the customers for the stress and confusion caused by this situation. He said Target will be in touch with all the impacted customers, improperly using the word impact, but that the store had heard very few reports of actual fraud. So even so, Steinhoffel made a point to note any customers who were affected will not be held financially responsible for any credit card or debit card fraud. As for the difficulty some customers have experienced while trying to contact Target through both the web and its call center, improperly using the word contact, the CEO chalked up wait times and unresponsive pages to unprecedented call volume. Steinhoffel said Target is working continually to build capacity for these resources. Finally, Steinhoffel announced Target will offer free credit monitoring services. They also give a 10% off discount. They also gave a 10% off discount, which is the same discount given to employees, to any customers shopping in U.S. stores last weekend. In the grand scheme, that apology equates to pennies compared to the millions being made by stolen data in the black market. For example, batches of a million stolen credit cards fetch $20 to $100 per card. Still, considering the potential losses from losing 40 million customers worth of business, you can't blame Target for trying. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is, did you get caught by the Target data breach? The choices are yes, sadly, no, luckily, and I have no idea. So far, we've got 32 people who voted. 23 of you did not get caught. 7 of you have no idea. And 2, sadly, did indeed get caught. Now, I know you'll have more to say about this because you are who you are. And so if you'll go to the forums, slide down the right-hand side of the column there, you'll see fascinating stuff. Under that are the forums. And if you look at the poll discussions, you'll see 28 December 13, Target lost 40 million customer credit cards. And, of course, if you'd like to talk about this, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
And one of the reports I read said that the PIN numbers were stolen, but they were encrypted, so you don't have to worry about it.
Until they unencrypt them, of course.
Well, and the article went on to say that Target doesn't actually have the actual PIN numbers themselves. They're encrypted by the card, and it only compares the encryption that you type in against the encryption of the payment company. So your actual PIN is never stored by Target. But the encrypted PIN is transmitted by Target to the to the payee.
Yeah, right. And Target said yesterday that, okay, yes, they have the pins, but, you know, the pins are encrypted, so they're never going to be able to get to them. Well, anybody who knows about encryption knows that there's a good chance that the hackers will probably eventually figure out how to get to them.
Well, more importantly, if Steve is correct about what he just said, then all you have to do is send that encrypted PIN number, and you win.
Right. And there's only 10,000 PIN combinations anyway. What, that takes, what, 4 or 5 hours for someone to just try every possible combination?
Right.
Or a computer could do it in a few minutes?
Right, exactly. So, yeah, assuming it's a four-digit PIN.
Which virtually every debit card, credit card uses a four-digit PIN. And for numeric digits.
Right.
You can't even use letters.
Right.
So we need to address security that way, too. You should have more than four digits. You should allow letters. But then,
and numbers and everything,
right,
else.
And people won't be able to remember it, so they'll write it down on the back of the card.
Right. And the real problem is, and I know there are those of you out there who will gasp when I say this, some of you unbelievingly, some of you because you do it, many people set their PIN number to the last four digits of their phone number.
Because it's easy to remember.
Because it's easy to remember. Yeah. The real problem is if you're one of the... There's two problems here. One is that your actual credit card information may have been stolen. The second thing is if you've used the same PIN or the same password in other places, you're pretty definitively screwed.
Yep. And people tend to use those same numbers in other places just
right,
so they can
because
remember
they,
it easier.
Well, no, they like to pretend they're too stupid to remember more than one password. They're not. They just like to pretend they are because it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Not better, just easier.
Think high. Think higher of yourself.
Exactly.
Think more highly. What's?
Think more highly of yourself.
More highly. Yeah. My grammar teacher is rolling over in her in her book. Yeah.
yeah, but that's exactly it. You know, we all. I remember dozens of passwords regularly in my head, and I'm not actually any smarter than any of you, and I'm older than many of you. I just don't believe I'm stupid. It's that simple.
And it's gotten so bad. There have been so many leaked passwords. The bad guys have a list of hundreds of millions of actual passwords used on actual websites and services. So the good guys are also looking through this list to see what common passwords are. And monkey is a very common password for some reason. 12345 or QWERTY. So it's amazing what very common passwords are. So the bad guys don't even have to try to guess your password because it's probably on this list of 100 million other passwords.
Yep. Yep. It's ridiculous these days. This is why I'm a fan of two-factor authentication. Something you know and something you have. So, for example, when you log on to a new computer, when you log on to Google using a different computer, once you type in your password, it will, if you've set it up, it will say, oh, you have to now type in the special code that we just sent to your phone as a text message. So for someone to log on as you to a different computer, they have to both know your password and have your phone.
Which is not very likely.
Which is not very likely and therefore makes it much more secure in terms of somebody stealing your stuff. So I'm very pleased with the ability to do two-factor authentication. Sadly, it doesn't happen often enough, but it does happen, and that's, I guess, the important part right there.
And in some websites, I know my banking website, they claim they have two-factor, but it's not really two-factor. You have a password and then a second password.
Yeah, that's not two-factor. That's just two passwords.
That's a thing you know and something else you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the two factors have to be different factors. That's the way that goes. I don't know who that is. Carl?
Al.
Al. Oh, it's Al. All right. Our first caller is Al from Penfield. Welcome, Al. What's up?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good. How are you?
Hope you all had a Merry Christmas.
We had a great Christmas. You?
I got toys.
That's what counts.
I have a Nexus 7.
You lucky little dog. Do you love it?
It is even more amazing and more fun than I could imagine.
Yep. That's great. It's a great toy.
Hey, I'm reason calling for a different reason. Up to my eyebrows in encryption, just having so all sorts of fun with TrueCrypt and GPG, et cetera.
Ooh.
But you mentioned something that I was thinking about calling you, but I wasn't going to bother you. But now, since you mentioned, I'm going to raise the question. Google, I went to two-factor authentication with Google.
Yep.
Thought, what a good idea. Makes sense. Log in the new computer. It sends me a little text message saying, please use the secret code to verify that you are you. But now I'm getting it all the time. Multiple times.
Yeah, what you can do is... when you go to put in your password, you will notice underneath it a little checkbox that says, don't ask on this computer again.
I'm doing that. I'm getting it on multiple. I get it on laptop, a desktop, and my Android phone.
Now you should get it once on each device.
But if you've checked,
it worked that way for a while. But then now in the last week or so, all of a sudden, every time I turn around, I'm being asked for it's sending me another code, and it's.
Are you blocking Google cookies?
Pardon?
Are you blocking Google cookies?
Not to my knowledge.
Check that.
I haven't changed anything, but I'll look.
Yeah, check that, because what you may find is that you have accidentally blocked, because Google does it by a cookie, obviously, as everybody does. So if you've blocked cookies from Google, it can't say, don't ask on this machine again.
Okay.
That's the only thing I know that does that. I have it too, and it works fine for all my machines.
Check your cookie list. You might have accidentally set it to block all at some point for some other issue. So the usual safest settings is to block third-party cookies.
Right.
So you want to accept first-party cookies, but then you may need to go through your cookie list and remove anything that says Google that's already blocked.
Or depending on what you're using, you can set it to always allow.
Okay, yeah. Now I'm assuming we're talking about Firefox, et cetera.
Yeah. Any browser.
And I'm looking under privacy, and I don't see an option to control cookies.
It's hidden in Firefox. They moved it like two or three things down. You have to say custom, I think, somewhere, and then you get the option to do all the extra cookies.
Oh, that's interesting. You're right.
I don't see it.
It's under preferences, isn't it? Under preferences, you should have a privacy button. And under privacy...
I have under tools, I have options. Hold that down.
You may want to clear or remove individual cookies. That's just history. No, here it is. Remove individual cookies. Where? And there's your list of cookies. You go to preferences.
I don't have a preference. I have tools.
No, under something else. Wait.
Edit.
Under edit, preferences.
Oh, God. Don't have a preference option under edit. Interesting.
What version of Firefox are you running?
26 or whatever's current.
Is there a way to turn off all the tools and go full screen mode?
No, you've got an edit bar, right? You just don't have preferences under it.
Are you Mac or Windows?
No, Windows. Okay. I've got the full menu bar up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, somewhere you should be able to find preferences. I don't know where it went on your machine, but look under all the things and see if you find preferences somewhere under file, under something.
Oh, okay. Let me dig. I'll have to try some other machines and compare.
Yeah, you should be able to find preferences.
The fact that my machine has been crashing like 8 times a day for the last month, has nothing to do with the stability and...
Right.
Trustworthiness of my machine, right?
No, of course not. No, okay. It has nothing to do with it. It's solar flares.
It's a Windows feature.
Exactly. It's a feature, not a bug. But what you'll find is in preferences under privacy, I've got it 3/4 of the way down the page. It says you may want to clear your recent history or remove individual cookies. And if you click remove individual cookies, you can see the actual site and the cookies themselves. And that'll let you remove cookies if that's what you want to do. Under advanced, no, it's not under advanced, but you can start there, and that's probably a good place to start.
Okay. I will play.
All right, have fun.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yep, bye-bye.
Is the desktop version of Firefox different than the Metro version of Firefox? I don't know if he's running Metro or not.
Oh, there's a lovely question. That's really
the
answer is
probably
question.
Yes. Yeah. Maybe that's why he doesn't have all the options. They're hiding in different places.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That I don't know. We have, and you guys are in a different chat than I am, a different hangout.
Well, it says you were in there. Nick, Smiley, Michael, and Jerry, but I don't see
it's
you
confusion
or
confusion everywhere is here Jerry. Apparently today.
I seem to be in an entirely different one with only me. Oh, well, it is what it is. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, rough as it is today. Soundbites, right here on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And before we go back to the phones, I should tell Al that because he's on Windows, it's probably under Tools Options. That's where he'll find the privacy settings and that stuff. So back to the phones. Our next caller is Victor from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's up?
Hi, guys. On my wife's Windows 7 desktop, she has Avast. Now, that has anti-malware, anti-spyware, and anti-rootkit protection. That being said, does that mean she does not have to run Super NAS spyware and Malwarebytes?
She does not need to run them. It's not a bad thing to she doesn't need to keep them running in the background.
Constantly.
Right. Yeah. It's not a bad idea to once in a while, maybe weekly, whatever, let them do a scrub of your hard drive. But
okay.
To run them regularly is not required, no.
Okay, now there's one check. It says real-time protection. Should that be unchecked then? Would that conflict with...
Right. That means it's not running in the background all the time.
Okay. So for Avast, you want to leave that on. For the other ones, you want to turn that off.
Right.
Okay, so then Malwarebytes has something similar to that, too. I'll have to find it.
Right.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Right, you want to leave it on one thing.
Yeah, just the Avast then.
Yeah.
Right.
And then do on-demand the other two.
Yep, you got it.
And usually the real-time scanning is part of the pro pay versions of Super NAS spyware and Malwarebytes, too.
Right, that's what we have. We have that. We have the pay versions on it, but I guess it wasn't even necessary.
Well, no, if you've got the one, you don't need the others. And you can just pick whichever one you want to be doing that for you. It can be, I mean, if you, you know, it could be Avast, it could be Malwarebytes, it could be whatever you want it to be.
Okay, but as long as Avast does it by itself.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And okay. Avast also adds antivirus ability, too, that the other two don't have.
Right. Okay, well, thank you very much, then.
Thank you.
Bye.
It's getting, well, this is part of the problem. Everybody wants to be everything to all people. So every computer program tends to do 15 things now, one of them well, and 14 things at various degrees of not well. So if you've got a program that you're happy with antivirus, suddenly it also does malware checking, but maybe you prefer the Malwarebytes to do that. It's your choice, whichever you like, but make sure you really only have one running constantly, because otherwise you're sort of slowing your machine down. It may not really slow it down, depending on how fast your machine is, but you should be aware that running more than one thing at a time can slow your machine down.
And oftentimes that's where the companies have their free version and then the pay version, and then the suite does everything. So oftentimes you can get just the one thing you want. It's sometimes harder to find because they want you to buy the full suite.
Right. So here's an interesting little news item. Even ever since John Legere, the CEO of T-Mobile, teased Uncarrier 4.0 on his Twitter account earlier this week, people have been racking their brains trying to decide what it's most likely to be. In terms of its own plans, value, and available products, T-Mobile has done just about as much as it can do to convince customers to join. It has unlimited and unthrottled data, international roaming, a non-contract plan, and the ability to upgrade whenever you want. So what else could it possibly do? The rumors are that T-Mobile is teasing a project named Houdini, which will give switchers up to $350 in credit when they switch to T-Mobile. Emphasis will be on family switching up to 5 lines, regardless of contract end dates. New customers will receive instant credit when they trade in a smartphone, then get a credit for the ETF charge and their old, and that's the transfer charge, for charged by their old carrier when they submit the final bill to T-Mobile. For single lines, this makes little business sense. Let's say you're with Verizon, you have only one plan, and want to switch to T-Mobile. You get your early termination fee covered, that's ETF. Sign up to T-Mobile and pay it off immediately, then cancel your Simple Choice plan. In that situation, T-Mobile has lost money. But when you start talking families, it makes a lot of sense. If you have 4 lines on Verizon or AT&T and are desperate to save some money, switching to a different carrier is no easy task. Of course, you could save a packet on T-Mobile, but if you have a good chunk of time left on your contract in Verizon, how do you get out of it to switch? It's even harder still to switch if each of those 4 lines has a different end date, unless T-Mobile pays. This would be a fairly bold move for T-Mobile, but with families, it's not as risky as with a single consumer. So what do you think? Could T-Mobile pull this off? Would you be willing to switch? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Wow, that's aggressive.
It really is.
Yeah, that's really, really aggressive.
Well, T-Mobile's been T-Mobile and Sprint have both been lagging far behind Verizon, and they're looking for a way to catch up.
And there's rumors that, Sprint is looking to buy T-Mobile, and AT&T tried to buy T-Mobile earlier, and that got turned down by the regulators. And was it T-Mobile got $1 billion cancellation fee? So if it cancels, we'll give you $1 billion. Okay.
Exactly.
So now Sprint is trying to buy T-Mobile too, but a lot of the analysts are guessing that that's going to get turned down by the regulators also.
Yep, yep. It's kind of an odd thing. I love the aggressiveness of it. I really do. I think that we need more and more people to teach Verizon that they're not the only game in town. And that unlimited data is where people want to be. Sorry, unlimited unthrottled data. Oh, we want you to use our service, but not so much. You people are using it so much. We have to actually build out our infrastructure in order to handle that, and we don't want to spend money. We just want you to give us money. Get over yourselves.
There was a really interesting infographic, and I'll never be able to find it again, back when the government split up AT&T. And it listed all of the subsidiaries of AT&T and the other companies that were out, you know, MCI and all the old cellular companies, who bought who ended up where, who renamed who, and then on the right hand of the infographic was AT&T again.
Yeah, right. Right. We used to have essentially one phone company, Ma Bell, and for the bigs, you know, there were regional phone companies like Frontier. But they all went to Ma Bell for certain, you know, long distance and blah, blah, blah. But, man, I'll tell you what, it's a weird sort of world out there. Everybody, you know, if you want to be a phone company, all you really need is a pickup truck and a rusty pair of pliers. And you can call yourself a phone company and go do whatever you can agree to pay you money. Tin cans and a string, whatever it is. And consequently, there's a whole lot of people who have connections that are not with one of the bigs, and that kind of bothers the bigs.
Yep.
You know, they don't want you with the smaller companies. They don't make money when you're with the smaller companies. And Verizon still has much better coverage than most of the other
carriers in the United States. And
especially here in Rochester, because they bought all of Frontier's towers Frontier went out of business.
Sprint is...
Frontier Cellular. Right.
Sprint's building... I have Sprint. And the last time I had them look at my cell phone, which now is a total just disaster, but last time I had them look at it, they were talking about how they're going to start building out their infrastructure in the Rochester area, and a lot of the new cell towers that are going to be going up are going to be Sprint cell towers.
Yep. Sprint is aggressively looking at adding to their existing infrastructure. And they're doing one thing that I think is very, very clever. In the past, and the others may be doing this, I just don't know it. In the past, it used to be that you had multiple radios on a tower, 3G, 4G, whatever, different thing. Sprint is now talking about using software-based radios. So if you've got a whole bunch of people who are 3G in an area, you set it up as a 3G radio and max out your coverage. As people switch to 4G, you just switch over the radio to 4G. And so rather than have multiple radios that have to be maintained and all the infrastructure behind that, you have one radio that you just send whatever you got to send to it, and you're on your way. They're also talking about, in many places, the radio is on the ground because it's easier to service there. But that means there's a long wire, which can cause interference and attenuation of signal up to the top of the tower. Now, Sprint is saying, we're just going to put all our radios up at the top of the tower. And if you got to fix it, you got to climb the tower, get over yourself. And that way, there's a lot less attenuation, a lot stronger signal when it actually hits the antenna. They've thought it all through, and they've done a really nice job with it. The question becomes how quickly or how soon the others will perk up and notice.
Well, Sprint also has unlimited data.
That's big.
They have unlimited data because I have unlimited data.
Wasn't it? It's a little sneaky. It's unlimited 4G, but if you ever drop into 3G, there's a limit and overages.
Right.
Yeah, but for the most part, and it takes a while to get to that limit, though. I mean, I have a Sprint phone. I've had a Sprint phone for the past 2 years. And I've only gotten to the limit twice. And I use that phone for everything. More until it broke, I use that phone for everything.
Yep. Well, and I have Verizon. And so far, thank God, I'm grandfathered into 4G, into unlimited. And I use my phone for everything. I'm constantly using the Google navigation. I'm constantly listening to music while I'm driving, all of that stuff. I use a lot of data every month. If I'm somewhere where I don't have, well, now I have a Chromebook with actually a T-Mobile 200 meg connectivity package per month with it. But until then, I was also using it as a hotspot. So I was using a lot of data every month.
Did you ever look at how much you actually were using?
Yes. Very in terms of my phone or in terms of my Chromebook?
Both.
Which are you
more interested? With the phone.
Oh, well, when I take long trips, for example, to, I don't know, let's say Illinois to see my daughter in college, and we're playing music the whole way and we're doing all that stuff, I can use 3 or 4 gig over the course of the trip.
Right? Yeah, over a nice weekend.
Yeah.
And that's
well, a week, because we're there longer than that.
And that's typically, a month's data for most of the companies is 5 gigs a month.
Right. But if you wanted, for example, to watch a movie, there's your whole thing.
One movie.
Right. And now with them talking about, for example, Facebook wanting to put movie ads in your stream, if you're doing that stuff on your phone, you're going to run out of data pretty dang quick.
Just please don't make them autoplay.
They're autoplay.
Especially when there's 5 or 6 of them on the page.
Yep, they're autoplay.
So I did read one thing, that they are autoplay, but no audio. And if you click on it, it restarts and plays the audio. That's at least that's the plan so far. So
interesting.
That means that every time you go to Facebook, you're going to get several likely ads that are video that will eat up the bandwidth on your phone. Maybe that's why T-Mobile and Facebook are getting together to give you free cellular with Facebook.
That's right. And that's something else we'll talk about
later.
Yeah,
when this type of stuff comes out, that's going to put I'm thinking that's going to put carriers like T-Mobile and Sprint at a huge advantage.
Yeah,
because
I agree.
They're even with their data limit at 3G, it's way higher than what Verizon does. I stream, or I did, all the time on my Sprint phone, and you know, only once really did anything really happen. So
And although we are now to the point where it is rare that you are somewhere without some sort of wireless connectivity at some point, it still is, I think, important to be able to use your phone whenever you want, however you want. And this is, you know, we're Americans. Many of us are iconoclasts. Many of us are curmudgeonly sons of guns. And we believe that if I'm paying for something, I ought to be able to use it the way I want to use it, not the way you think I want to use it, because you're not making enough money. Get out of the business if you can't make money.
When I was in college at Roberts in North Tri-Lite, it's Ogden Telephone, a lot of little small telephone companies in the rural areas. And we used to get mad because the calling area was so limited on where you could call for free. You know, Webster was a long-distance call from North Tri-Lite, but Scottsville wasn't. So it didn't make any sense. So it's who had peering agreements with what carriers,
right,
and then Frontier went bought them out. So you know,
yeah.
And they bought out Hilton's, and they bought out, you know, all Frontier basically bought all the regional.
Yep.
What's actually kind of interesting is that across the country, Frontier has been buying the landline service of Verizon. Verizon is getting out of the land phone line service, it seems like, especially in the rural areas. And there have been some interesting cases because Verizon has had Fios in those areas, and Frontier doesn't have fiber telephone,
right,
or fiber internet. That Stop to Cap has been reporting where Frontier's, oh, you don't, no one needs fiber internet. You know, no one wants anything that fast.
Yeah, let me just state for the record. Green light. I want fiber. I am waiting. I love the idea.
We just don't want to pay $1,000 a month for it.
We're all waiting.
That's right. That's right. It's exactly right. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 40 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Larry from Rochester on the line. Welcome, Larry. What's up?
Good afternoon, guys. My wife has a new HP laptop computer, and I have been trying to connect it via Wi-Fi to my iMac. I have an HP DeskJet D4360 that we just use for general purpose printing, and I've got the printer connected through the Air Express, so through the USB. I have tried for the last 4 or 5 nights using the instructions available to get it to see the Wi-Fi network so that it'll see the printer. It sees the Wi-Fi network just fine for getting on the internet, but when it comes to seeing the printer, it won't. So I have gone through stuff like Bonjour, tried to learn what that was. I went to the Apple blog sites, tried a few things, but nothing seems to work. I'm just wondering, what am I not doing?
Part of the problem is that discovering printers on the network is kind of an afterthought to the way networking was originally designed. And that's what Bonjour for Windows should do. If you install Bonjour for Windows and then run the Bonjour wizard, it will find the printer on the network and set it up for you.
Okay, I have installed Bonjour for Windows on her laptop, and it goes through all the motions, but it still doesn't see the printer.
You also need to make sure that port 5353 is open in your firewall.
On which machine?
On the laptop, on the machine you're running Bonjour on.
Okay, so that's port
5353.
5353?
Yep. Yeah, I posted a tech note on our link list.
On Win Machine.
Yeah.
Can okay. you see them from Windows, not from Bonjour, but from Windows, can you see the Mac?
No, I can't.
Because SMB services are turned off by default. All file sharing is turned off by default on Mac.
Okay.
But that's something to try. Turn on Windows file sharing on the Mac and see if it does see it, and then make sure to turn it off
Which
again.
Will also tell you if you're on the same
right. But the laptop
network.
Can get to the Internet, right? Ooh,
the laptop will get to the Internet through the Wi-Fi network. It's just fine.
There are if it's a newer airport router, there are two networks, the private network and the guest network.
Uh-huh.
When you're connected to the guest network, you cannot see printers or devices. All you can see is the Internet.
Okay.
So you want to make sure that both computers are connected to the private network.
Okay. Both computers are on the private network.
Okay. Does the Mac see the printer connected to the network through Bonjour? Try that, and in the airport utility, make sure it sees the printer is connected to the airport router.
Now, if I go through preferences on the Mac, it does show it. So I'm sorry, system preferences,
and then printers,
and then if I open up sharing. It sees my printer.
You don't want it in sharing. That's probably the USB printer connected to your computer. You don't need printer sharing on the computer because it's shared from the router. So what did you used to have the printer connected USB to the Mac?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the queue you're seeing. So you want to delete that queue in system preferences under printers.
Uh-huh.
And then add a new queue, and it should find the printer under Bonjour. Rather than under USB.
Okay, so it's an iMac. Originally, I had the printer going into the USB port on the back of the iMac. When I looked at print sharing instructions and all of that, it told me to connect to the Air Express. So I took it out of the Mac itself and have the USB port from the printer now. Going into the Air Express.
Right, you can share the printer from your computer or from the airport, but you shouldn't do both.
So would you repeat again I need to do then?
So on the Mac,
uh-huh.
you want to go into sharing and turn printer sharing off.
Turn sharing off.
Yep. And then go into printers and delete the print queue that's there, because that's probably the USB print queue.
Uh-huh.
And then add a new print queue.
Okay, I'm writing as fast as I can here. Delete.
Yeah, delete the printer that's there. Add a new printer.
And
it should find that printer under Bonjour rather than USB. Normally, when you go to the add printer wizard,
uh-huh.
It gives you the name of the printer and it gives you the connection. So
right.
it will say Bonjour, or it might say TCP or USB. It tells you what the connection to the computer is.
Okay, it's never done anything like that on the Mac. It's been pretty much just plug and play.
Right.
There.
Yeah. When you physically connect the printer directly to the Mac, it just auto assigns it.
Right.
But now you're connecting a network printer.
Right.
You have to. Delete the USB printer and add the network printer to the Mac.
Okay. I think maybe I understand now.
Now, the other thing is to make sure that the Mac can see it over Bonjour. You can also check the airport utility to make sure it sees the printer.
Uh-huh.
What model printer was it? Is it a printer only, or is it an all-in-one?
It's a regular printer, HP DeskJet D4360.
They're
just general purpose printing.
Yeah, I have seen some HP printers that refuse to be shared, even on Windows. They just refuse to be shared on the network, and I think it's a conspiracy from HP to make you buy a new printer.
I could believe that. Oh, okay. Well, thank you, guys. As usual, you kind of cleared the air. I don't know if it's 100% clear, but I can see more than I saw about 5 minutes ago.
At least you know where the path is now.
Yeah. Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right, I'm very excited to announce it's our little giveaway time. Our friends at Frag Repairs are giving away a certificate for a cleanup, and here's how this works. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. We will take the 10th caller. So Michael will just say no, 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 no until he gets to the 10th person. And we will give that person a certificate for one cleanup for our friends at Frag Computers at 1472 Monroe Avenue. So give us a call right now, and we'll be glad to start that contest.
And
if you have already, if you have already won, please feel free to sit on your hands and give somebody else a chance. So the number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. So give us a call right now, and as soon as we get that call, we will announce a winner. In the meantime, I think I'll just read. I'll just read another news item. Actually, I'll go right to the bottom of the pile. Oh, you'll want this. And I'll read the one about T-Mobile. Look, we understand you absolutely have to know what Jimmy ate for lunch. And that Marissa is, just so sick of this week already. And Jason's only a maybe to the office holiday party. Who does that guy even think he is? Sorry, nearly forgot to tell you. T-Mobile's prepaid brand, Go Smart Mobile, has joined forces with Facebook to offer unfettered access to their social network. Even if you don't pay for data, Go Smart Mobile will still allow Facebook and Facebook Messenger access. You'll never miss another link to 28 signs you lived in New York City too long again. And all those cat photos, you get them. Whether the Facebook access will be speedy is another question altogether. It's not actually clear which network users will access it through. And GoSmart is a prepaid service aimed at bringing down mobile costs over offering blazing fast speeds. Either way, free is free, right? So what do you think of the idea of being able to go to Facebook for free? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free one. Actually, you should probably wait until after the break because we're going to be doing that in a few minutes. We do have a winner. Steve is taking information right now.
Robert Newberry is the name.
Bob, welcome. Thanks. Congratulations. It's great. We'll get that out to you immediately. And it's a free cleanup from our friends at PC Frag. They're located at 1472 Monroe Avenue. And it's a pretty nifty deal. I got to be honest with you. It's very cool that they're doing this. And we want to thank them for their support of this show. So
and who doesn't need their computer cleaned?
Exactly right. Everyone needs their computer cleaned, except me, because I just finished mine yesterday. So I don't need my computer cleaned.
We have a customer that that calls it his annual enema.
Oh, very charming.
He brings
charming.
His computer in for its
that's
annual.
That's lovely and charming. We love people like that. So that's kind of nice. Do we have time to take this call? I don't think we do.
We do have five minutes.
All right. We're going to talk to Rick from Irondequoit. Welcome, Rick. What's up?
Hi, guys. I don't know if this is a five-minute question or not, but I'm using Sonic Firewall VPN client to get into my work system, I guess, if you will.
Yep.
I have it on an older Windows 7 machine, and it works fine. I tried downloading a new version onto a new laptop I got for Christmas, and I can't get the thing to work.
What OS is the new laptop running?
Windows 8.
That's what I was afraid of.
It's a totally different... the program I downloaded, I guess, is totally different than the one on the other machine, on the Windows 7 machine.
Yeah, you have to make sure you get a Windows 8 compatible version from Sonic. Now, Sonic Wall?
I downloaded that one for the 64-bit, and then that's what I'm saying. I'm saying it looks like a whole new setup, I guess, if you will.
Now, Sonic, is this Sonic Wall?
Yes.
All right. Make sure you got the right product, because Sonic makes a bunch of different products.
Well, this one, the new version says SonicWall Global VPN Client. And then the, hold on one second here, I can look at the other one.
I have a feeling.
The other one is just a SonicWall SSL VPN Net Extender.
Yeah, that's two different clients. I bet the global client is for their corporate firewall product.
Ah, okay. That's why maybe, because it'd be, I mean, the older version was easy to set up. I had it set up in 2 seconds.
Right. You may well have the wrong piece of software. The big thing that is probably your original SonicWall software that does work. Did you get that from work or did you download it?
I downloaded it myself. They told me where to go and
work tells me where to go all the time.
They told me a spot to get it from, and I tried Googling all this to try to get the same software and everything else. I guess I just can't find it, or it keeps bringing me up to
your best bet is to call your help desk at work and get them to give you that spot again.
Okay.
I probably
have a version that I downloaded that's in the old laptop. Could I transfer that?
It certainly can't hurt to try if you've still got the original download.
Windows 7, Windows 8 are pretty close.
It can't hurt to try. It'll either come up and say, can't install, or it'll come up and say, oh, here it is.
But it does look like the SSL VPN client and the global VPN client are different products.
Right. And that's why you can't connect.
Do you have a link to the other one, Steve? Or?
I'm finding an overview link, but I haven't found a download link yet.
Okay.
And that's why my suggestion is to call your work help desk.
Okay.
And get them to give you the correct link. Like I said, you can certainly try, because it's the weekend anyway, what else you got to do? You can certainly try the software that you still have downloaded in your download folder on the old machine.
Right.
It can't hurt to try
that using a fob or something like that.
Yeah, whatever you're going to do. Yeah, exactly.
Hmm. All right. I guess I can give that a try or just keep searching some more for a non-global, download.
Right.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Good luck.
Thanks.
When did Dell buy SonicWall?
A while ago.
I hadn't noticed that before.
Yeah. Dell's buying up a lot of companies like that.
It's going to get to the point where everybody's going to own everybody else.
It used to be Symantec was buying everybody. They're buying all the software. Dell's buying all the hardware companies.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm surprised that Dell bought them rather than Cisco, who also is buying up a whole bunch of companies.
Yeah.
But eventually we'll all be owned by Beatrice Foods. But until then, it's an entirely different story. All right, that's it for the first hour. I don't know what you thought you were doing, but sadly you were entirely listening to us. In case you don't learn fast enough, you can do it again because we'll be right back on the other side of this hour. We're going to take a quick break. Dave Enright, of course, one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Midwest. We have Steve Ray, Michael Oden doing a magnificent job here this week, and I'm Nick Francesco. Stay tuned. A whole lot more of this nonsense is coming on the other side of the hour. But until then, we are the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We're Soundbites on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Longest running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and you...
Go ahead.
You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
And I wanted to say to Rick, our previous caller, it looks like the Sonic Net Extender technology is a different product yet. So there's the SSL VPN, the global VPN, and the Net Extender.
Good to know.
Wow, that's confusing.
Yes.
So the chances are 2 out of 3 that he downloads, 66% chance that he downloaded the wrong thing.
So he should, but according to the Monty Hall problem, he should switch his choices.
Right.
They did that on, what was it? James May's Man Lab,
mm-hmm.
But with beer.
Oh.
To be statistically significant, they did 100 rounds, so they got 300 cans of beer. And they had the three picks, and he picked one, and the other guy, and then they had to open. They shook it up. Two out of the three were shooken up.
Oh yeah.
And he had to pick and open it, and it worked out exactly the right percentages that it's better to switch your choice.
Nice. All right, it's been a week since Spotify announced it would allow anyone on an iOS or Android tablet or smartphone to use its music streaming app free of charge. And it appears this was a good move for the company as far as growing its listener base. The streaming music service said on Thursday that downloads of the app have increased by 4 times in the last week. This means 4 times as many people are downloading the app today compared with a week ago. With Spotify, while Spotify would not release specific numbers, it's likely a hefty amount of people who are downloading the app. In March, Spotify said it had surpassed 6 million subscribers, a gain of 1 million since December 2012, but it hasn't updated its user numbers since then. Spotify also has more than 24 million active users in 55 markets worldwide. A year ago, the company's service reached only 17 countries. Still, it's lagging behind Pandora, which has around triple the amount with 4 million active listeners and more than 200 million registered users. Before Spotify launched its free mobile music streaming service, users could only listen to the service on desktop or a browser-based program for free. However, premium members who paid $10 a month had access to the service through other devices. Besides saying it has a bevy of new users downloading its mobile app, Spotify also announced Thursday that it is now ranked in the top 10 in the iOS App Store in over 20 markets worldwide, including the U.S., U.K., and most of Latin America. So, do you prefer Spotify or Pandora? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
Oh, I remember back when Spotify very, very first started, I was one of their early-on users, and they were free. And yeah. Then as the years went on, they started charging, and yep. I stopped using it.
Yep, and that's true for a lot of people. Once Spotify became unfree, they all went over to Pandora. People would prefer the ads to paying a monthly fee. And which did you like better, though?
Early on, I liked Spotify better, I think, because it didn't have ads. It was you could get almost anything on it as long as they had it. It was, you know, fairly simple. Early on, I don't know about now because I haven't been on it lately, but early on, you could get stuff that wasn't necessarily out in the public yet.
Right.
You could get
pre-release.
Yeah, you can get that. You could get, like, mixes and everything else.
Right.
Way back early on, because anybody could put something on it back early on.
And now you've got RDO and MOG and iTunes Radio, and there's all sorts of streaming radio stations. In fact, there was a news story we didn't get to last week. Was it Beyonce? Released a new album, and it was an iTunes exclusive for a week.
Yep.
So all of the news articles, I got a little upset, all the news articles were saying Target refuses to sell new Beyonce album. No, they're legally obligated to not sell it because it's a legal obligation to iTunes.
Right, right, right.
So for the first week.
But now Spotify is not quite the same as Pandora, is it? Pandora, you pick an artist or a genre or whatever, and it plays a bunch of stuff in that.
Similar
yeah,
to that,
Spotify,
yeah.
You can go for a library, select right. What you want to play, throw it into your favorites, and that's what it'll play. And you can add to it, you can take away from it, you can do whatever you want with it.
And the commercial version lets you keep a certain number of them a month or whatever it is. And you can always buy additional ones if you want to.
Right, 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 right. So that's actually kind of different from Pandora, which sort of lets you discover new artists pretty easily.
Right.
Because you can
put in anybody and... Right. And get it there, yeah.
And get something similar.
Although we also have heard that the artist payouts for all the services are horrible. So one guy posted a check. I got, what was it? He had 1 million plays, and they sent him a check for $11.
Wow!
Yeah. So you can't make any money on them. But you can get your music known well enough to to then sell it directly if you want.
Right. Well, and that's what a lot of people are doing nowadays. I mean, clearly not everybody is Beyonce. Not everybody's going to be able to drop an album on iTunes with absolutely no announcement whatsoever and sell a couple of hundred billion copies.
Yeah.
But if you become, if you get, let's say you listen to Pandora and you like alternative bands, right? Yeah. So there's an alternative channel and you hear something you really like. You might buy that album. You might tell your friends about it. That's the whole idea behind Pandora. Get on Pandora and get known. Spotify, I guess you have to actually be known already by somebody.
Typically, they have it, but you have to know the name of the artist or the song title or something along that lines in order to find it. Like if you type in an artist, it'll give you every song by that artist or with that artist that they have, or written by that artist that they have.
Right.
But you have to know that artist.
Right, as opposed to Pandora, where it can just say, give me alternative music.
Yeah.
And it starts to play, I get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's the difference between them. So they're not really all that similar at all, I guess. But I'll tell you what, we listen to Pandora constantly at my house, where it's the thing we most often do, because it seems to me that I tend to hear new stuff that I haven't heard before, and I do it mostly by either an artist or a genre, although they don't seem to understand a cappella as a genre. I don't know why.
It's not a genre. That's they forgot to bring the instruments.
Yeah. That's all right. The sing-off was on for a few weeks. I watched it semi-religiously, and I really wanted Street Corner Renaissance to win. They were the requisite old guys who used to stand on a street corner as kids and do a cappella music, doo-wop stuff. But the band that I like second best was Home Free, and they won. So I'm okay now. I'm all right. That's all right. To me, there is no sound more beautiful than the human voice in close harmony. If I were to ever do a radio show, that's what I would do, a cappella music and all its various genres.
One of the things that we've noticed a lot in our stores is we'll often have Pandora radio playing, and we get the same songs way too often.
It depends on the station you play.
Yeah.
With some of them, it's like they repeat them every hour.
Yeah.
Some of them, I can listen for 3 days and not hear the same song twice.
I remember visiting a top 40 radio station in town, visiting the DJ that we knew, and he took a call request and for a song. He said, yeah, sure, we'll get that on, and just hung up and then started chatting with me again. Yeah. Once you're going to write that down? No. Yeah. If it's a popular song, it will come up in rotation. If it's not popular, we're not going to play it anyway. Of course, here on Jazz 90.1, when you request a song, they actually go to the library across the hall and play it.
That's exactly what happens. I have watched particularly the show before us, because I'm in early enough for that. The Polka Bandstand, I listen to Ray and Al. I see them actually write stuff down, go find it, and they'll tell the person, we have it, we don't have it, whatever it might happen to be.
Yeah.
All right, our next caller is Victor from wherever Victor's from. Welcome, Victor. What's up? Are you there?
Yes.
Try again. There we are. Too many buttons to push.
Okay. All right. My question is, I'm confused. Someone says, look at it through your browser.
Yeah.
Go through your URL or go through Chrome or, Internet Explorer.
Yes.
What is the difference?
All right. What they're talking
about. I like Firefox.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put something up there, and I type it in.
Yep.
And they say, oh, no, you need to look at this through your URL. I'm like, okay, I thought that was my Internet Explorer is how I'm getting on, or Firefox or Google.
Right.
So
yep.
What's the difference?
Okay, here's the deal.
The URL.
Yeah, here's the deal. Okay. All of those things you're talking about, websites, URLs, all of that, you get to through a browser. URL means...
Uniform resource locator.
Uniform resource locator.
Okay, so what's the browser?
The browser is Firefox
is Internet Explorer.
Or Internet Explorer or Chrome or Safari.
The program you browse the web with.
Okay, right.
Right, so that's your browser. Okay. In the browser, you have to put an address for a website. That address is also called a URL, Uniform Resource Locator, or URI, which is really this different name for the exact same thing. So once you put that in there, for example, google.com, soundbites.org, that's a URL, and it will take you to that website. And when you do that, you are said to be browsing that website.
And some websites will put on them, this site best viewed in Internet Explorer, this site best used in Firefox. Doesn't mean you have to use it. It means that the programmers who made that site were lazy, and they wanted to program it to work best in a specific browser. So every browser has its own features, and some browsers can do fancier things than other browsers. So
what is Bing?
Bing is a search engine.
What is Bing?
Yeah, Bing is a search engine from Microsoft, and it's a website you go to search for things on the internet. It's very similar to the Google search engine at google.com.
Okay. So here's the difference. It's what you use to get to a specific website is a browser, whether that's Firefox or Chrome or Internet Explorer or Safari. The address of that website is the URL, google.com, soundbites.org, whatever. And then the thing at that website may be a web page or a search engine like Bing or Google or something else. But so you really have two things, what you use to get there, how you get there, and what's there.
It's kind of like a car. You can have many different cars. You've got many different roads. But they all take you to the same destination in the end.
Yeah.
Is that a little clearer?
Much clearer.
Yeah. Oh, our pleasure.
Thank you, guys. And I'm not Victor. My name is Adrian, and I'm from Victor.
Yeah, it's my confusion. How do you spell your first name?
I-D-R-I-A-N, Adrian.
I love that. What a great name.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Adrian. Yeah. We appreciate it.
Have
keep listening.
Holiday. All right.
You too. Have a great New Year. It's coming up the New Year. We're 24 years, 3 months, and 25 days into Soundbites.
Yep, we're on the last show of 2013.
This is the last 2013 episode. It'll be 2014 when we see you again. It's that kind of excites me. I love the thought of a new year, the thought of starting the year afresh. The days are getting longer. The winter solstice is over. And so every day is just a few minutes longer than the day before. So get excited about that. It's a gorgeous, 40 degrees, somewhere close to that out there, depending on where you live. And we're all pretty happy about that, too. So.
Apparently, Adrian is a fictional race in a science fiction series.
That's probably not who she was named after.
It might have been.
How old is that book?
That's what I'm looking for.
If it's like, you know, 2008, probably not.
It's The Culture by Ian Banks.
There you go. It's a beautiful name. I don't know what it stands for, but it's a beautiful name.
So it reminds me of Idris Elba. Who he's now playing Mandela in the new Nelson Mandela movie.
Man, can that guy act?
I know. He was
Holy
in Pacific Rim.
Moly. Yeah.
He was in the cop show, Luther, on BBC America. He was in Thor. He played Heimdall. He can play everything.
He plays everything. What my favorite, there's a picture of him meeting, he's British, he's of him meeting Kate Middleton, and she's got this fangirl look on her face like you wouldn't believe, and the caption reads, Kate Middleton meeting Idris Elba is all of us meeting Idris Elba.
Yeah.
There's no difference.
There it is.
Yeah, it's a great picture. Look at her. She couldn't possibly be any more fangirl.
Oh, my God, you're Idris Elba. Yes, you are.
Well, Adrian just called back, and apparently Adrian is a synonym for a woman.
Oh, how interesting.
Yes.
How very cool. Thank you. That's great.
I love learning new names and what they mean and what they're about and all of that stuff. That's kind of fun stuff.
So that's why I can't find anything else besides this science fiction story, which apparently is huge. I mean, the Princeton has a course about them. The Goodreads has got the books. That's all I can find is about the book. I can't find what the name means.
Probably if you went to second or third or fourth or fifth page. All right, listen, we're going to take a break. But I think we've got somebody waiting on the line. We'll get to them when we come back, but we're going to take a quick break. We have Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 20 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Sound Bites right here on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Michael Oden.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. It's probably time for another contest, don't you? Oh, we have somebody on the line. We have somebody on the line. I apologize to Dan from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's up?
Based on the prices of the new Mac Pro, I've decided to upgrade my current Mac Pro.
Nice.
Which is a early 2009 version. I upgraded the Mavericks, which, in hindsight, not a good thing, but I'm getting through it because of the CoverFlow bug that's out there.
Yeah.
I installed a OWC SSD hard drive in the PCIe slot, and that put me into warp speed, which was terrific.
Yep.
Yeah.
But here's where I'm running into a problem. Of the four internal drives, I've bought an SSD, and I've dedicated that as a scratch disk because I do a lot in Photoshop and Final Cut and Premiere.
Right.
And then I thought I can upgrade the other three, which were 1 terabyte, to 3 terabytes, and then I wanted to set them up as a RAID.
Yep.
So I purchased Western Digital Black Caviar 3 terabyte drives because I saw on the forums there were issues with 4 terabyte drives with Mac Pros of a certain vintage.
Right.
It was 4 terabytes, which is so huge.
And they initialized, and all was well. And then, all of a sudden, two of them dismounted, and I'm unable to set them up as RAIDs. And when I go into Disk Utility and set up, do a verified disk on all of them, two of them show fine. One of them, the volume has disappeared. And when I do a repair disk, it says all's well, and I get a funny quarter-second flash of something mounting, and it's only in gray, and it says OS X boot. So I now basically have 3 dead drives in this Mac Pro. Any thoughts?
I would try them in different slots to see if the same thing happens. It sounds like a failed drive.
Yeah.
But it's unlikely they all fail at once. But they were all purchased at once, so they were all in the same, probably from the same lot.
Right.
How close are the serial numbers of the drives?
I didn't check the serial numbers, but the firmware looks all the same.
Yeah.
Then the other thing I tried at the recommendation of someone is I downloaded SoftRAID.
Yeah, different RAID software rather than Apple's.
And that, I don't consider myself brilliant, but not at remedial level, but I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah. Well, RAID software is magic anyway. But yeah, I have to say, I would check the serial numbers on the drives. If they are close to sequential, that is to say clearly within the same batch, it might just be the drives themselves, as opposed to the software or the connectors or anything else. But Steve's option of trying different connectors might not be a bad idea either.
Is there, because there is some talk in various forums that anything over 2 terabytes can be problematic with Mac Pros. Pre-2012. Is there anything to that?
We ran into that with some of the early 2006 and 2007 ones when we tried to put more than 4 terabytes of total space. Or was it 6? We had 4 ones in it for a customer. We tried to put four twos in, and it didn't like it. Some of it we think is just, you know, that long ago, having you know, 8 or 10 terabytes of drive storage was just something that, that no one thought of at the time.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try the different slots. And
yeah,
I have a message in the Western Digital that I was on the phone for 45 minutes and gave up and sent an email, but that's going to be till next week.
Yeah. I'm looking to see if they have a firmware updater for their drive, too, because there may be a firmware update. No, this is only for passport drives. But that's something to keep track of, too.
All right, so it should be doable. I'm not doing anything really stupid.
It
should certainly be doable. What's interesting, these are internal drives or external?
Internal.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of stuff about Mavericks having trouble with external drives, but nothing about internal drives.
Yeah, Western Digital did issue a tech notes and a firmware update for some of their external drives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll try swapping the drives around in the bays.
Yeah, and definitely do me a favor. Let us know what Western Digital says.
Okay.
Because if three of them failed at once, that's you either have a bad controller in your Mac Pro, or there's something wrong with the drives.
If you still have the old drives, put them back in and see if they're recognized. That will let you know if the controller cards and the SATA slots are okay.
Right.
Yeah. I definitely have those. But the interesting thing is they didn't fail at once. They failed after a couple hours.
Yeah, still. You know, again, the two big choices at this point are the drives themselves or the controller. And Steve is right. The best way to troubleshoot, put back the old drive, see if you don't have a problem.
Now, when you say the controller, that's internal on the logic board?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I have a bad controller, I get big problems.
Yeah.
Well, if you have it's not a big problem. It's just a return it and get it replaced problem.
Okay. Well, which is no longer under warranty, so it's...
The brand new... Are you talking about old one?
No, if the controller card in the Mac on the logic board has failed.
Yeah, this is early 2009.
Yeah. You can get...
Oh, this is not the new one. This is the old one.
Right.
Yeah. You can get PCI SATA controller cards to replace the ones built into the computer if you need to.
Okay. Well, that's a good option if I need it.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize. I thought all this time you were having trouble with the new one.
No, the new one looks great, but the configuration I would need would be about over $12,000, so I thought I'd upgrade my 2009.
Okay.
Yeah, they are very, very fast and very, very high-end. And I saw someone on the net did a Dell equivalent server, and it was about $12,000, but he couldn't get PCIe SSD cards. They were only SATA. So everything in the new Mac Pro is super whiz-bang fast. In fact, we got one of the stock ones in the shop, and they are much smaller than they appear on the web.
Yeah, they're tiny little
things. Tiny little things, yeah. They're barely 10 inches tall.
Right.
Well, hopefully the price will come down in a couple of years, and I'll just keep my 2009 going with these upgrades for a couple
there
of years.
There you go.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks. But I thought he had upgraded the 2009 MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
What he had done was upgraded it to Mavericks. That's right. Where I got confused.
Yeah, he's looking at getting a new one and instead decided to upgrade the old one. And a lot of people have done that by adding SSDs instead of spinning hard drives, adding more RAM. You can make your old computer feel faster than it is.
Right.
And actually, we're seeing that on the new... the new Mac Pros, they come with these super whiz-bang video cards because so much processing now is done by the GPUs and instead of the CPUs.
Right, and Bitcoins.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joan from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joan. What's up? John.
How's it going? I'm
John.
I guess I wanted to mention that you guys are talking about Pandora and Spotify. I haven't used it, Spotify.
Yeah.
But Pandora, I got tired of using it because it started playing the same songs after a while, even when you're on your custom stations.
Yep.
And, you know, I just, it's just not like regular radio after a while. So I prefer to use my iTunes library from Google Play. And that's my vote. So
No, I understand that. I have I don't have iTunes because I have Chromebook, but I use my Google Play library far more, I admit, than I use my Pandora library, mainly because Pandora doesn't understand a cappella, and I have, I want to say it's 24 days worth of a cappella music.
Yep.
Yeah.
In Google Play, so I don't hear the same song very often.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get it. I get it.
And it's kind of an interesting split of people that some people, it's like when you listen to the radio, it's just whatever song happened to come on. But then we got into buying your own digital music, and well, even before that, if you bought your own albums and listened to the music you own versus whatever song just happened to be on the radio. And so that's sort of how it's been split. You listen to your library or you listen to streaming, whatever happens.
But even Top 40 radio, when those 40 songs are done, they replay them again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's what Pandora ends up sounding like after you listen for more than a couple hours in a row. It's like,
Yep. So, I get it. I get it.
Okay. So I would listen to you guys on, you know, on and off on Saturday afternoons. I'm driving, running errands, and I know you probably have mentioned this before, but you, Nick, speak about managing the security tangle a lot.
Yep.
And I'm guessing it just means to like run a cleanup on your computer, but what exactly does that mean?
Well, here's the deal.
Can you say that?
Over the years, when people say, I've got a virus, how do I get rid of it? Or I think my machine has a virus, how do I find out and get rid of it? We used to, there's really a dozen or so steps that you have to go through. And I got tired of having to repeat them over and over and over again. So I started a website called the Security Tango that lists all of those steps.
And the several different programs you use.
Right, because there's a half a dozen different programs depending on what operating system you're on. And so I created this, I called it the Security Tango because it's a dance. If you skip a step, you're not dancing anymore. You're just stumbling around. And then I increased that from, expanded that from Windows to Linux to the Mac to the Android operating system. So all of those are up there. And basically what it means is running a bunch of different programs that check your machine for viruses, for malware of all other kinds, for spyware, for all of that stuff, cleans it out. And then it recommends ways to protect you, your machine, from being infected again.
Okay. So I have a Windows 7 desktop.
Yep.
I believe it's 32-bit.
Okay.
And I have malware bytes and and CC Cleaner, which are pretty much my only security dances.
Sure.
Recently I tried to update CC Cleaner, and I must have stopped it partially, but now it's kind of like half on and half not on my computer. So like when I go to my secured, adding programs,
right,
I can't uninstall it because it says that it's in the process of uninstalling.
Okay, a couple of things. First, you have, let's go back a minute. You have Malwarebytes and CCleaner. What is your antivirus software?
I guess Microsoft Essentials.
Okay. With CCleaner, your best bet, I think, is to install a program called Revo Uninstaller.
Revo,
Revo Uninstaller.
Okay.
And we have a link to that somewhere in the in our forums. And use that to try to uninstall CCleaner.
Okay.
Revo Uninstaller does a much better job of uninstalling software than Microsoft's own uninstaller. Microsoft's uninstaller does is mark stuff in the registry inactive. And if it does that wrong or there's something stuck in the registry, then that's just never going to work.
Yeah.
Whereas Revo will actually remove it.
Okay.
The other thing you might try doing is reinstalling CCleaner from your original download.
Yeah, I did try that, and it fails because it's, I don't remember what the error message is, but it doesn't allow me to actually install. And that's why I tried to uninstall it so I can do the reinstall again. But I think both of them are on the halfway part, and it's not letting it do anything. So
try Revo Uninstaller, and when you download it, pay attention. There's a free version and a version that you pay for. So make sure you get the one you want.
Yeah. I remember last week you guys were talking about the installing and people get toolbars and all that stuff. And I definitely pay a lot of close attention and always uncheck all boxes that I don't need when installing programs. And I know I don't want to take up too much time, but the uninstall programs, you guys mentioned Major Geeks.
Yeah.
I usually install from either Major Geeks or just CNET.download.com.
Right.
Yep, those are both good.
Do you guys have anything yes or yay or nay to say about CNET?
They're both good. I almost always install directly from the where you can download directly from the website of the manufacturer.
Well, a lot of them point you to Major Geeks or CNET because they've got the big pipes.
Yep, I was about to say. Both Major Geeks and, well, they're both good. So I would not hesitate to download from either of them.
Okay. All right, so Revo Installer, and do you still recommend using CC Cleaner? Is that
I like CC Cleaner. It's Revo Uninstaller.
Yeah, Revo Uninstaller. Yeah,
yeah,
that's what I got. All right. Well, thank you guys very much again for the work you do. I listen to you guys as well as the station on a regular basis, and I'm a member. And
that's what we like to hear, John. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
CC Cleaner has a Mac version now. Let me see what's in it.
Nice. All right. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Steve Ray, Michael Oden, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 41 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on the truly great and truly member supported Jazz 90.1. Stick around, see what happens next.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This message is for all
to the hour. We are Soundbites, and we have a contest going. Our good friends at Frag Repairs at 1472 Monroe Avenue are giving away certificates which are good for one PC cleanup. So here's how this works. When I say go, you call 585-966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ. And we will take the 10th caller, and that person will win a PC cleanup. Now, if you have won this PC cleanup before, or indeed anything from this station in the last 30 days, sit on your hands, give somebody else a shot. You are ineligible. Ready? Steady? Go. 966-5299. Make the call. Win the cleanup. That's what we're looking to do. We've gone through... People apparently popped in a little early, and we have a winner. So thank you. Thank you all for calling in. Michael is ridiculously fast on that phone. And we're good. So thank you. We've had another winner. We want to thank our friends at Frag Repairs for those PC cleanups. Check them out while you're there. They do some pretty cool stuff. And... they are one of the beloved sponsors of our show, and we're delighted and grateful to them for that. If you're calling with a question, please wait just a minute. Steve is taking the information from our winner, and we will then apparently mail the information out to that person some point during the week. And so we're delighted, we're thrilled to have that happening here. Always good to have one of our sponsors step up to the plate and say how much they love this station and how much they love our show, and to provide a tangible show of that love. So thank you to our friends at Frag Repairs, and we're delighted to know that they're helping you clean up your computer and getting it running nicely and happily. Michael is taking a call at the moment. We'll go back to that in just a second. So it's pretty cool. We want to congratulate Nate. Nate for getting that for winning that cleanup. Very nice. I'm pretty sure it involves a software cleanup and not actually like soap on the case. I'm pretty sure.
We have machines that come in that are absolutely filthy, and I can't imagine what they did to get them that dirty, but it makes us not want to work on them. I had to buy a box of latex gloves because some of them are so bad. And it's sometimes cigarette smoke, but not always.
Yeah, right. All right, our next caller is indeed Nate from Rochester, New York. Congratulations, Nate. What's your question?
Yeah, my question is, I have the Adobe Flash player, but on certain websites, the video doesn't play. What would that be?
Some websites use a different video player. There's the AVI player, the Silverlight player, the QuickTime player. Mm-hmm. That site should tell you what player you need, and you may need... You may want to check to make sure you have the latest version.
I think I do.
Good thing to check just in case, because a lot of browsers, so now we're back to what a browser is, a lot of the web browsers, Internet Explorer, Safari, Chrome, will prevent Flash from running if it's known to be old and vulnerable. And one of the problems Adobe has is new versions come out almost every week because the bad guys have found new problems in them.
Yeah.
There's a
one
great...
other question. Is there a difference between Windows Live Mail and the Outlook Mail?
Subtle. Outlook is a program that you run on your computer.
Uh-huh.
Windows Live Mail is one of the places that you can get mail.
There's also the Windows Live Mail Reader.
Uh-huh.
The actual program.
Oh, right, all right, right.
There are subtle differences between them, but they both are mail readers. Outlook is generally used in companies for accessing corporate Exchange servers, so they made Outlook Express for home users.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm talking about, the Express.
Yeah, they have discontinued Outlook Express in favor of Windows Live Mail.
So there's no more Outlook Express?
Right, yeah. Maybe even a Windows Vista, but especially Windows 7, Windows 8, Windows Live Mail is the offline mail reader. And many websites, you do online mail. You go to gmail.com or yahoo.com to read your mail, and some people don't use an offline mail reader anymore.
Uh-huh.
It used to be when we had modems, we had to dial our phone, download all our mail offline, and hang up the phone as quick as we could because we were paying by the minute for internet service.
Thanks, Nate, and congratulations again.
Thanks.
All righty. Yeah, everybody's changing their internet mail systems, and it gets a little confusing as time goes along. We're trying to keep up as best we can, but they're all moving so quickly.
And especially Microsoft, that keeps naming everything exactly the same. Windows Live is an internet service. It's a mail service. It's a mail program for reading mail from their mail service on their internet service. It was like MSN in the early days. There's the MSN internet service, the MSN browser, the MSN website. The Microsoft, think of some other names.
Yeah, exactly. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Joe from Chickamauga, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's up?
Well, if that weren't confusing enough, there's also Outlook.com, the domain that Microsoft is for. It's, you know, they're converting people from Hotmail to Outlook.
Right, exactly.
But I called. I got myself to a little tight spot last with Nexus 7. I'm enthusiastic user of Titanium Backup.
Sure.
They've just released an update. I think it was yesterday or the day before. And I thought, oh, okay, new is good, right?
Yeah, usually.
Usually, however, I don't know if it's unique to Nexus 7 or to KitKat, but I installed the update, and all of a sudden, whenever I would tap on individual programs, to back them up, it would force close. And for those who are not familiar in the Android world, it just, the application goes away, and all it puts up is a dialog that says, do you want to report this? And, okay, it's like, unfortunately, this thing has closed. It's like, no fun at all.
And reporting never does any good.
Really? It's been your experience that it's not done any good?
Well, technically, it sends that note to the to Google or to Apple or, you know, whichever program is doing the reporting. But how many thousands of those do they get, and does anyone actually look at them?
Well, I think they do, but let's get to the actual question he has. Now, are you under generic Android, or have you rooted your system, or are you using CM7, or is it just plain vanilla Android?
It is stock Android, 4.2, and Titanium Backup does require you to root the device, so it is rooted. I'm just calling up to say, if you're kind of in a similar situation, I'd be very wary about upgrading to the latest revision, because I had definite problem with it. The weird thing is, though, you try some usual things, especially on Android. You uninstall and reinstall the app. Well, that didn't help a whole lot. And the weird thing about it is that after you uninstalled it, it was not possible to reinstall it with Play or with ADB. I had to go poking around on my computer, on my tablet, looking for vestiges of Titanium Backup itself, because when I tried to install via ADB, it told me, oh, it already exists. That's weird. I could have sworn I just uninstalled it with Play on the device itself. It was absolutely no fun getting a version of Titanium Backup on there, because you think to yourself, well, what happens if my tablet goes away? Well, my recovery is to, you know, wipe the device. Yeah.
Hold on a second. What version of Titanium Backup are you using?
I'm now using 6.1.4.3.
Oh, well, there's a 6.1.5.1, which just came out, which fixes a force close problem.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't even go on my tablet today to see if there's a update for that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, well, actually, I saw it this morning at about 11:30, just before the show. So 6.1.5.1 should be there, and you should be good to go with that. Theoretically, it fixes the problem.
Oh.
In fact,
so
that's the whole point of that update.
It did do some good.
There you go. All right.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have fun. Good to always be able to give the latest updates for anybody who needs them. It's up to the second reporting here on Soundbites. Well, sadly, that music tells you you've wasted 2 hours of your life listening to this show this week, and we're done. We're done for another week. You have almost 7 days to rue your current choices in radio listening, but
you'll rue the day.
You'll rue the day. But don't turn off this station, because George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. On the other hand, you have 6 days and 22 hours, however many hours that actually ends up being, before we're back on the air with the longest running computer show in the known universe. For Steve Ray, for Michael Oden, I'm Nick Francesco. Thanks for listening. Back next week on Soundbites.
And we'll see you all next year.
And it'll all be next year. That's right. Bye-bye.